Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church in Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor of Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come up on Memorial Day tomorrow, we would like to thank those who are serving our country. We would also like to thank those who have served, giving of themselves for our nation, for our freedom. And we would like to thank those who have given their lives for our country. We must fight for those freedoms which we have had, and thank those who have fought for them. One who loves liberty more than life will have it. One who loves life more than liberty will have slavery. As we open God's Word this morning, we turn to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36 as our text. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." As we consider God's word this morning, we consider that we are to persevere, verses 31 through 32, in Christ. Second of all, we see that we are so easily in denial about the slaveries which we are in this world, in verses 33 and 34. And finally, then, we look at verses 35 and 36, and we see that those who believe in Christ are freed men in Christ. So first of all, we look at verses 31 and 32, and we see that we are called to perseverance. Jesus conquers our self-righteous slavery. That's the theme that we want to see this morning. We are called to perseverance. Verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" Now we have to ask the question, are these believing here just swayed by his argument at the time, or are they truly believing? And we have to wonder that. I think we see evidence later on that they are being swayed by Jesus' arguments here. We are called to remain in Jesus' words. Now, Jesus' words have a very wonderful and special character. They are the wonderful words of life. They are the word of peace, the word of truth, the word calling us to righteousness in him alone. We read in John 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Again, later in that chapter, verse 68, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'" Now, we are called to stand in God's word, not just try them on, not just run past them. Psalm 1, we remember that the man is blessed who does not stand in the way of sinners. Our life is to be based on God's word, willing to die for that truth. Notice, he tells us that you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, verse 32. How often has each one of us heard this quoted out of context? Now, what truth are we talking about? You shall know the truth. If we are abiding in the words of Christ, then we know the truth. We are called to know Christ, to know the truth of the gospel, to know the truth of the word of God. There are many truths that do not set us free. If I am in a courtroom and I have done evil, the truth will put me in jail, not set me free. And so we must be very careful that the word of God calls us to believe not in any just any truth, but in the truth of God's grace and the truth of Jesus Christ. John 7, verses 16 and 17, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Now we are set free. Notice, the truth shall make you free. We are set free within bounds. Now what is freedom in our country? What is liberty? It is freedom to obey God's laws. Romans 8, verses 2 through 4, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thomas Jefferson defined liberty in the Declaration of the Rights of Man and the Citizen as liberty consists in the freedom to do everything which injures no one else. Hence, the exercise of natural rights of every man has no limits except those which assure the other members of the society the enjoyment of the same rights. These limits can only be determined by law. Notice that if it doesn't infringe on someone else's rights, well, people claim that there are rights today, rights to health care, rights to this, rights to that. Our rights to free speech do not impinge on other people's rights. But the right to health care impinges on my ability to pursue happiness. Freedom from slavery of sin is the undercurrent of what's going on here in our passage this morning, that we are called to freedom in Christ, to persevere in the truth of Christ, not in the ideas of man. Now notice, sadly, in our text and in our culture around us, people deny that they are in slavery. They say in verse 33, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Notice, they're claiming to be free. They claim their freedom based on who they are, not on what they truly have as freedoms. Sadly, today we hear people claim that same thing. We're Americans. We're free, right? Well, sadly, with the recent economic turndown, panic has ensued, and people are giving up freedoms right and left for stability, for the avoidance of fear. And yet, as we see in our passage, we are so easily slaves to sin. Verse 34 continues. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." This directly contradicts what the Jews had asserted here. They said, "We are Abraham's descendants. We're free." Yet Jesus says, "You are slaves to sins." All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God aside from Christ. Despite the fact that we may think ourselves free, we are slaves. Romans 6, verse 16. "Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." We may sin every day, and we do. But there's a difference between presenting ourselves as slaves to sin and falling as broken human beings. As sinful people, it is easy to desire the pleasures of sin, to revel in their temporary enjoyment. To begin down that path is to begin presenting ourselves as slaves to sin. This passage, we must understand that they are saying, "We are Abraham's descendants." They say, "We are Abraham's seed," saying that they are messianic in nature. We can assume that we somehow have the power to save ourselves, but we have no power. We would be fools if we would rely upon ourselves for salvation, as so many people do. And instead of then being free of ourselves, being free by the state of who we are and where we are free in Jesus Christ. That's what we see in verses 35 and 36. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. We read in verse 35, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Instead of fooling ourselves, saying that we are free of ourselves, we are free as believers only in Jesus Christ. Here we see the distinction between Christ and us. Christ is the eternal Son of God. He will abide in the house of God forever. Even in salvation, we are in Christ alone. Romans 6:16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" So even in righteousness, we have no standing in the family of God. We are slaves only now to righteousness and not to sin. But as slaves, as those who are called by Jesus Christ, those who are made free by the Son of God, then we are freed men. God, Christ, eternally frees believers from slavery to sin. Christ bases this promise on who he is. Verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." As the Son of God, it is his prerogative to free us of our slavery. The question is, then, who is Messiah, and to whom do we present ourselves as slaves? If we toss out Christ as the Messiah, if, as the Jews here in our passage have done, we are left with ourselves, and we continue to be slaves of sin. But if we turn to Christ as the Messiah, as his disciples, persevering in the things of God in Christ's words, they become his slaves in righteousness, and then as the slaves of righteousness, we are freed by Christ to be freed men, God's freed men. So as we look at our passage this morning, we see the context of what is so often quoted, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That we are called to know the truth, and the freedom that we have is in Christ Jesus, not in any truth out there, but in the true truth, the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. Not only is that freedom temporary on this world, as you might have in some earthly truth, but we have freedom in Christ Jesus, eternal freedom, freedom from sin, the free salvation of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at God's word, as we consider Memorial Day, the freedoms which we have as this country, we are called to remember the freedom which we have in Jesus Christ. Eternal freedom, not just temporary freedom. Eternal freedom from sin. And we are called to give thanks to such a great God for such a great salvation given to us in Christ alone. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious God in heaven, we do thank you for this nation which you have given us, the freedoms with which we can live in it, the prosperity which with which you have blessed this nation. And we pray, O Lord, that you would continue to bless and strengthen her in truth. We pray, O Lord, as we celebrate and remember on Memorial Day tomorrow, that you would be glorified and honored. We pray, O Lord, that you would send forth your word to the ends of the world, that all may have the wonderful prosperity brought by having Christianity. And we pray, O Lord, that we might have freedom in this nation, freedom based on the truth of Scripture and not on the ideas of mankind in rebellion against you. We pray, O Lord, all of this only for the sake of your Son, for it is in his name that we thank you, we praise you, and we bow and bring these requests to you. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail at Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we'll be glad to send it to you. If you have any questions concerning the Bible in general or about anything we cover on Start the Week, please contact us. We invite you to join us at the Salem Reformed Church in Ashley at 209 First Avenue Southwest. If Ashley is too far away, we have other churches of the Reformed Church in the United States in Minot and Lincoln Valley in North Dakota, in Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pierre, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota. We would like to invite anyone in the Jamestown area to Bible studies being held in Jamestown. If you have any questions about these Bible studies, please contact me at 701-288-3265. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church wish you the joy of knowing God this week and forever.